Welcome, everyone. So glad that you're here today. Those of you that are gathered here and those of you that are watching with us online, whether you're near or far, it is good to be together. If you believe so, say, it's good. It's good. If you're online, write on the comment, it's good. So we can be together and worshiping. It's a wonderful thing. So we're in a series called Rekindle, Reengaging the Mission. As we've kind of been disconnected in the past year, we're coming back in the things that God has called us to. So we are re-engaging this week. We're rebuilding relationships. Isolation, opposing opinions, loss, all these that we've experienced have been hard on relationships. We know it. We admit it. We feel it. And yet, rather than destroy us, it has given us a great opportunity to rebuild the way that Jesus has prayed for us, for his church. He said, may they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. So how do we gain courage to take a step in the right direction to rebuild relationships? Today we're picking up where we left off last week with more insights in Scripture that are going to guide us to this rekindling, this reawakening of the passion for the movement that we have as followers of Jesus. We are called to love God and to love each other in the same way that Jesus loves us. So as we walk into this, we recognize that some of our relationships have been strained. I have a friend, Pastor Mike McCain, and his wife, Connie. I've mentioned them before, but they've been on this journey for the last 5-6 years where Connie has been struggling with cancer. And in this last season, she actually spent some time, she had to have a brain surgery and the recovery with the trauma that comes from brain surgery. You know, it's a difficult journey. And I followed them on, Caring Bridge website, so I know everything that was going on with them. I've been praying for them, and yet I hadn't called them. I hadn't connected with them personally. And you know, as I went to pick up the phone the other day to give Mike a call, I felt this unease. It was like, I actually don't know how our relationship is. You know, how is he going to feel that I haven't talked to him over this trauma period? And, you know, is he going to feel like I've forgotten him and reject him? Is he going to be upset and mad? How is this going to go? Do you know that feeling? And then when I gave him a call, the most amazing thing happened. He was like, Pastor Tim, I know that you've been praying for us. I know that you've been following me on Caring Bridge. And I'm so glad that you called. And we just picked up where we had left off. And it was so gracious, it was so good. So we are working into this relational rebuilding. We're rekindling that spark. We're fanning it into flame. Jesus said, faith as small as a mustard seed will move mountains. But you know, when it comes to strained relationships, rebuilding them seems like mountain-moving endeavors, doesn't it? But it only takes a tiny seed of faith to move a mountain. It only takes a spark of faith that we act upon to rekindle our relationships in Christ. So let's fan the flame, right? Let's get the spark burning again. There we go. So if you're with us today, if you're not yet a follower of Jesus, I want you to hold on to a thought. What I'm speaking of today is ultimately centered in Christ. It's in the heart of Christ. So just hold on to that thought, because when we come back around at the end of the message, it's going to be important, an important piece to rebuilding your relationships. So I want to fan into flame. All right, I saw somebody do this. Go ahead and raise your hands. We've been practicing this the last few weeks. We're fanning the spark. We're getting it going. And when we fan it, when we get it going, what happens? Fire, right? That's right. So if you've been waiting for someone or something to fan the flame of your relational tensions and that rebuilding, then unfortunately, really, you're probably going to continue to wait. At the end of the day, It's going to require our action. And I'm going to challenge us at the end of this message to take one step to reach out and rebuild again. So as the church in the world, we are called to make every effort. The Bible says to fan our faith into flame, to rekindle the mission. And this includes our reaching out. So you and I have some relational distancing as individuals, as the church. Do you feel it? In this past year, we have been separated. We've been disconnected. We're just unsure where some of our relationships stand. You know, there's a lot of factors that make this happen. Some of these are simply beyond our control. They're unintentional. You know, we've missed a lot of the normal interactions that we have together. So we haven't been together. That means that in addition to the upheavals of the normal social patterns, you know, with our families and friends, we haven't been able to meet with our traditional gatherings. You know, on my side of the family, we've yet to regather all together since the pandemic began. It makes it difficult. So in addition to that, we add on the change in our work relationships, the distance learning, the different ways that we're doing sports, and so many of these things are relational. You know, they're building, they're connecting, and all that has been turned upside down. We've had to discover new ways of recreation and entertainment, and again, so often those involve or go around being with people. And as creative as we have been, and with new insights coming out, new ways of communicating on social media, we can see something that has inevitably caused damage. And it is the social distancing has led to relational distancing, right? Social distancing has led to relational distancing. Now, I want to step away from the blame game here. Whether you see this as justified to saving lives, I understand that. Whether you believe it's a big mistake, I kind of get that too. I think we're all recognizing, however, that it has taken a toll. We've experienced relational distancing on a scale that we have never seen, at least in our generation. So we can acknowledge that. These are big changes. Actually, these are cultural shifts, and we grieve the changes. So this kind of grieving is different, though. You know, in normal grieving, when there's a loss, you know, we feel sadness. We feel a kind of disconnect. You know, it usually brings, maybe tears and, you know, the kind of stuff we understand. But when we grieve changes of routine and especially forced changes, things that are not our choice, our response isn't sadness. It's blame and anger. Blame and anger. We've experienced a lot of routine change. We've experienced a lot of blame and a lot of anger. And unfortunately, both of these are destructive to relationships. So we've been looking at a principle, certainly of fanning the flame. Again, when we fan the flame, the spark gets hot and it creates what? Fire. You know, that fire can work to inspire us. It can reignite our passion for the things of God. But it also can give traction to the darker nature if we're not careful. Let me explain that. We aren't just grieving changes of routine. We're also having relational tensions, social and ideological strains. You know, our nation's race relations and all the social implications that are centered around this. You know, this is really difficult for some of us. It really is. I completely get that. You know, others see this as hate-inspired injustice. I'm beginning to get that. You know, if these aren't enough, then we add in the divided electorate and a fiercely contested election, and we're relationally distancing. So on top of this, we're actually grappling with a communication upheaval that the world hasn't seen in 500 years, you know, since the printing press and how that changed things. Now we have the digital and social media new world. How many of you are grappling, right? And there's certainly benefits, but added to this is a proliferation of sources of news and fake news. And all of this is spurring a very real cultural shift toward mainstream distrust of everything. Now, maybe some of that's good. I don't know. But it's real. And I think for some of us, it's caught us by surprise. It's different. It's really different. which means even our closest relationships are vulnerable to mistrust. That's hard. So we can no longer assume that we'll be given the benefit of the doubt. And I think it's true that we no longer expect best intentions from everyone. So I realize that I painted a dark picture, right? And I hope that you are not experiencing all these to the extent that I'm describing. But I know that many of you, most of you, probably all of us are experiencing some of this. And for all of us, we're likely a little bit traumatized by it all. So how can we recognize the effect this has on our relationships, on this distancing? Ask yourself this. Do you have any relationships that have changed over the past year? Do you feel disconnected or separated from someone that you weren't before? And you're really not sure how to re-engage? Are you affected? Let me ask you this question. Are you feeling just a little bit anxious that if you are to re-engage, you're not quite sure what kind of response you'll get? If that's you, if you're feeling this, you might be facing some relational trauma, relational distancing. So now, I haven't even talked about the church. Add all of this, overlay all of this on top of the church and our relationships together. Remember, if you're a follower of Jesus, you are the church. The church isn't those other people. The church isn't the building. Who's the church? We are the church. We're the gathered followers of Jesus. So if you are experiencing relational trauma, the church is experiencing relational trauma. If you are relationally distanced, the church is relationally distanced. You know, we don't live in a church bubble. That'd be nice sometimes, wouldn't it? Pop. We don't live in a church bubble. We live in a real world. We're faced with incredible changes in how we gather, how we connect, how we relate, how we've had to deal with the realities of our day. You know, change is loss. Loss is grief. And when we grieve changes of routine that are forced upon us, we don't respond with sadness. We respond with blame and anger. Whether it's intentional or not, we've been through relational trauma along with everyone else. And we need a way forward, don't we? We need a way to rebuild our relationships. And the good news is since we don't live in a church bubble, we're free to be salt and light and flavor the world around us. John the Apostle, he writes, "The Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world." So we do have a way to overcome these relational distances. In fact, it's at the heart of Jesus' prayer for us, for his church. In John 17, he says, may we experience such perfect unity. Jesus' prayer. He wants us to experience perfect unity. And the good news is, we can. So the problem comes in the midst of isolation. You know, here's my experience, maybe yours too. Most of my relationships and how I relate are fostered through connection. You know, a regular check-in with someone. I get the sense of how our relationship is. You know, when I go to my grandkids and my little 1.5-year-old granddaughter, I know exactly how our relationship stands when I walk in the door. She's either like, "Oh, who's that guy?" or, "Hey, Grandpa." You know, you can tell, right? It's not that much difference in our relationships with each other. You know, when we spend time together, we recognize if there's a relational tension, being in person, being in conversation, we can, you know, resolve it. We can understand our differences. You know, the conversation begins around a mutual connection. And even if I disagree, I can be in it together, and the relationship is always greater than the issue. So what happens when the connections are decreased and the tensions are increased? You know, that's where we've been in the past year. And I've been struggling with this uncertainty of the disconnect. Do you feel it? Do you know what it feels like? I'm assuming you do. Give me a nod if I'm speaking to your heart, or if you're just like, "What's he talking about?" I'm getting a few nods. Okay. Well, when I was preaching to the camera, you know, it was kind of nice because I could stop and correct myself. That happened a few times. The problem is there was no response. You know, communication is a two-way street. Preaching is a two-way street, right? Yes, okay. So if I ask for an amen, then somebody can give me an amen. Amen? Exactly. So give me that in the comments today if you're online. So in this relational isolation, the connectional component, you know, it's been reduced and the issues and the disagreements have been increased exponentially. So I haven't had relational time to process all this stuff together with all of you, and the same for you. None of us have had the time relationally to process everything that has been thrown at us. So we are recognizing that it's taken our toll. So I'm left wondering, what will happen when I re-engage? What response am I going to get when I'm trying to reconnect? So the truth is, I know I'm the reason for some of the hard feelings. You know, either decisions made or positions I've supported or neglect from connections. I get that. And we find out that the longer things go unresolved, the harder it is to reconnect. I've experienced that. I'm sure you have. It's hard to reconnect. And we find out that our mind starts to run wild in scenarios that generally aren't playing out well. Let me re-say that. Thanks for the amen over there. Good job. They told me Eddie was going to give me one today, so I appreciate that. So when we're in this relational distance, our mind begins to run wild. At least mine does. And I begin to think of all the dark scenarios that have been happening. And I think my biggest fear is playing out. And this is a little admission. Maybe you know it. The fear of rejection. I'm going to be rejected. If I go, I'm going to be rejected. And it's better not knowing than it is, engaging. That's what I think. So all that leaves us feeling a little paralyzed. We don't even want to risk reaching out. So how do we get past this? How do we get past the paralysis? How do we do what we learned at the beginning of the series to fan the spark in our relationships? So where do we find the courage to take that first step in the right direction? So if you're feeling like you're ready today, but you don't know how, then there's good news. Being reconciled, being in right relationship is the heart of the gospel. See, God reconciled us to himself through Jesus the Son. And here's the amazing thing. God reconciles us to one another through Jesus the Son. Being reconciled is through Christ, which means as a follower of Jesus, as the church, our unity doesn't come from our performance. It doesn't come from doing everything right in our relationships. Our unity comes through Jesus, God's Son. And that's such good news, right? So let's face it, we all mess up. We all cause offenses. We're all offended at some point. That's life on this side of the resurrection. And that's the way it's going to be a little bit until Jesus returns and we're raised again. We're entering into the new life. But the way forward is part of what God has called us to in mission. And that way forward is the heart of Jesus' command to love one another as he loved us. He said, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another." It's what relationally connects and overcomes our isolation and social distance. Paul the Apostle, he says, above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us together in perfect unity. And so my hope today is that we will be inspired by God's promises to take the next step to re-engage in our relationships that have been strained. I'm going to stop and pray. Father, I pray that as we engage today, that you will move us by your love, that we will receive it and move us to reach out and to truly love each other as you love us and love each other in our relationships. In Jesus' name, amen. So I came across an eye-opening statement this week. Kate Sweeney, she's associate professor of psychology. She's co-author of a book, The Surprising Upside of Worry. She said that 85% of things people worry about never happen. Think about that. 85% of the things we worry about just never happen. Now, I know some of you are going to argue that you might feel like your fears are justified, that it always happens to you that way. But I suspect that we fear a whole lot more than we need to. In fact, over and over in the Bible, God says, do not fear. Do not worry. Don't be afraid. Which shows us that fear is a liar. It wants to paralyze us and stop us in our tracks and keep us from the reconciling work of the gospel. And yet, when we grasp God's love poured into us, we are empowered to fearlessly live in what 1 John says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. So when it comes to the tension we feel about relational engagement, about reconnection, then let's call it out. What's holding us back? It's fear. And fear is spiritual warfare. It's really an attack by the enemy, by the devil, to destroy our relationships, which are key to the Holy Spirit-inspired, healthy, missional church that we are. So this season of crisis has revealed some things. It's become this great accelerator and highlighted our relational tensions and weaknesses. They're there, right? We understand that. But it also highlights our strengths and our opportunities. And one of those big opportunities for moving forward is to recognize what unites us, what brings us together, is far greater than what separates us. I'm going to say that again. What unites us is far greater than what divides us. Our relationships and unity are centered in Jesus because we are one in Christ. We're one in Christ. As we read John 17 again, Jesus is praying to the Father. He's praying for us. He's praying for his church in all generations. He says this, I pray that they will be one, just as you and I are one. So as the Father and the Son are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you, and may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. I am in them, and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. When we have this relational distancing, it's really important to realize our unity is not from us or any other bond that we forge together. Our unity is in that relationship that we have together in Christ. As they are one, Christ and the Father, we are one. So we can be confident then that before we do anything, we are already bonded in Christ. Before we take a step, we're already one. And that's powerful. We're deeply rooted in relationship as followers of Jesus. So that gives us courage to take the next step in the right direction. And that next step is this. It's the first step in rebuilding. It's forgiveness. Somebody say forgiveness. Forgiveness. So let's face it, we all get offended. We all get mad. We all get hurt. And when it comes to strained relationships, it's easy to point out, you know, who has offended us and why. We remember those things, don't we? You know, that person did something that deeply hurt me. It offended me. I remember that. Or they didn't do something that made me really mad. I remember that. I'm holding on to that. But it's not as likely that we remember what we may have done to offend. We easily forget that stuff. Or let's face it, in these days, what we said that's been offensive, or a comment we made, or a post we put out. And I'm going to give a little admonition here. That's a little warning. And I'm going to back it up with a second one. If you're thinking to yourself, I really don't care what I post on social media, I'm just speaking my mind. And if someone has a problem with that, that's tough. That's their problem. If that's your attitude, here's my warning. Be careful. You are in danger. And I'm not talking about censoring on social media. I'm talking about something worse. I'm going to take you to Jesus' Sermon on the Mountain, Matthew chapter 5. Jesus is teaching about living a new life in the kingdom. He says this. So if you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple, so if you're in worship, amazing, you know, good things, and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, Not that somebody's offended you, but you have offended someone. Leave your sacrifice there at the altar. Go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifices. So Jesus, really, again, he's not dealing with the stuff that offends us, but the stuff we have done to offend others. And he says, don't even let worship stand in the way of mending that relationship. So he's dealing with stuff that we tend to neglect or forget. He says, pay attention. It's so important. It's even more important than worshiping with this on your conscience. So here's the backup warning. This comes after another, all what we've said just comes after another conversation that Jesus had. He said, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. He says, anger unresolved puts us in danger of the fires of hell. Man, that's a strong statement, isn't it? You know, we do mess up. We do cause offenses. We do get offended. We do get mad. I do. So how do we rebuild relationships and take that step in the next direction? The way forward is forgiveness. Mending strained relationships starts by recognizing our own offenses and then asking for forgiveness. It's the first step. Now, one of the keys to a good marriage is learning to ask for forgiveness. You know, we practice in marriage coaching how to ask for forgiveness and how to give it. And, you know, it's a good thing. And I think it's pretty simple. It's key to the relationships. It's saying, I am sorry. I am sorry. That may be simple, but it's absolutely essential in our relationships. So I'm going to invite us to practice this. So if you're sitting near somebody, I'm just going to have you turn to that person and practice, okay? Just say, I am sorry. And the other person say, you are forgiven. So practice that. Turn to somebody and say, I am sorry. You are forgiven. If you're online, if you're with someone, I'm sorry. You are forgiven. If you're by yourself, just practice it. Say it out loud to yourself. I am sorry. You are forgiven. There we go. Now, if you need to go further with this, come see me after. I am sorry. Powerful words. You are forgiven. More powerful words. You know, there is a foundation to rebuilding relationships. The Apostle Paul writes, make allowance for each other's faults. I mean, he's already saying, you know, we're going to mess up. It's part of life. Make allowance for that and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. So make allowance. Make each just don't hesitate in working it out. Just take that step in forgiving. That's life together as a follower of Jesus. So we're on the move as a church. The days are changing. Do you feel it? We're going from relational isolation to relational engagement. The Apostle Paul, he writes, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And that means it's going to require, on our part, action. And for some of the rest of us, we need to start initiating. Some of us are really good at this already, and I applaud you. Some of us, however, need to start the initiation, and much of it depends on us. So the first step for rebuilding is forgiveness. The second step is engagement. Relational engagement requires a personal connection. There's just no way around this. So that means we're going to need to go beyond submitting a Facebook thumbs up or a little heart on a comment to a post. I mean, that's fine, that's great, but it's not enough for the kind of relationships we're talking about here. We need real personal connection. We need a conversation. It could be a phone call. Someone needs to hear your voice. And we need to take that step. Give someone a call. How do we do that? If you're feeling like, I'm not sure, I'm afraid, I just don't know what's going to happen, here's how you do this. You say, dial the number, pick up the phone. I mean, some of you have never done this before. No, I'm just kidding. Pick up the phone and say, hi. Try that. Hi, this is? I wanted to connect with you. We haven't talked for a while, and I really wanted to hear your voice and find out, here's the big question, how are you doing? How are you doing? And then listen. Can you do that? Listen. See where the conversation goes. Jesus said, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. It reminds us that the mission that we're on starts right here with us. It starts here in our hearts. It starts in our own relationships. When people see that, when they see us reconciling in our love for each other, that draws people to the one who has called us, to the one who loves us, to the one who makes it all possible, to Jesus. So take a step in the right direction. And understand, they won't be perfect steps. And they might even awaken old challenges. And it might be uncomfortable. But we discover that as followers of Jesus, we have far more that unites us than what separates us. So we're rebuilding, we're reconciling, we're rekindling. It's our way forward in this new reality we belong to as the church. Now, I do want to just give a little bit of caution here. If you're listening today and you are in a very difficult relational situation that is, you know, beyond just a normal connection, I want to caution you that there needs to be some parameters there. You may need to have some conversation with a trusted believer, brother or sister in Christ, before you engage that. There are some situations where this may take far more than what I'm talking about, okay? I understand that. But in just this normal disconnect we're living in, reach out, make a connection. And the Apostle Paul says, the outcome is already determined. If God is for us, he says in Romans 8, if God is for us, who can be against us? Can anything separate us from Christ's love and that love that unites us? No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ Jesus, who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither fears today nor worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus. Jesus loves you, his church. Jesus loves you. And he calls us to express that love, demonstrate that love to one another. The world's watching. And here's our challenge. Reach out to someone that you feel socially distanced from. Reach out imperfectly. Do it awkwardly. Do it uncomfortably. And courageously anticipate being one in Christ. Let me pray for us. Please join me. God, we thank you for the call that you have placed on our lives. And Lord, we want things just to bounce back to normal, but we know some of this is a difficult road and it's going to require our action. Give us courage, Lord, to be those who this week are ready to step out in that first step, to make a connection, to make a call, to stop in, to say, hi, I want to hear your voice. How are you doing? Lord, as we make that move, fill our relationships with your Holy Spirit. Lord, may the bond of peace and the unity that comes through you, Jesus, and your Spirit fill those relationships and be part of these steps. And as we do, Lord, may we rekindle the relationship and rekindle the mission we're on together. Lord, remind us that in you we have far more in common than what separates us. And I pray, Lord, that as we take these steps, that you will be glorified, that people will see real reconciliation and desire real relationship that comes only in you, Jesus. If you're ready to take that step this week, just tell Jesus, I commit to one step. Just say in your heart, I commit to one step this week. If as we're talking about this, you recognize that you don't know that relationship with Jesus, the very heart of what we're talking about and fostering relationships with each other, if you realize that, you know, there's just an emptiness inside, you have nothing to give or offer, then I want to invite you to call on the name of Jesus, to surrender to his love, to invite him into your life, to forgive you of all the things that are holding you back and causing you fear and giving you dread. Ask Jesus to set you free. He died on the cross for you, that you may know a new life and a new relationship with God, with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And that in that relationship, you will begin to mend the broken relationships in your life. If that's you today, just simply pray, Jesus, I surrender. Forgive me. Thank you for dying on the cross. Jesus, fill me with your love. Fill me with your Spirit. I am ready to reach out to those around me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So if you're online with us today, if you are praying those things, just write in, I commit, or I commit to Jesus. We'd love to hear from you and walk with you on that journey. Same here, if you are taking a step, or if you need some direction in taking a difficult step, please come talk to any of us as staff. We would love to walk this journey with you. It makes all the difference in who we are as followers of Jesus.